The Ark of Millions of Years, The End Times. This is a continuation of the chapter, The Future World, Volume 1. The fact that we are now living in the end times has long been attested by many prophets who have lived in ages past. It is a time long awaited by people of all religions. It is a time of culmination or winding down of events. It is a time of great expectations. It is a time of spiritual awakening. It is a time of rapid technical advancements. It is a time of the beginning of the glorious age of Aquarius that will usher in the great millennial age. Your authors are going to present a scenario taken from many ancient sources depicting the end time events. Are these events going to happen just as we present? We don't know. We do know that if what we present doesn't come to pass, it will come to pass in the near future. This is the time of preparation for future prophesied events that must occur shortly. Some Bible prophecy for the end times has already been fulfilled, just as prophesied for the last days in Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, and Isaiah chapter 66. Israel was reborn as a nation on May 14, 1948. The biblical prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 31, records that the Jewish nation would exist as long as the world stands. It is after the time that Israel becomes a nation in the latter days that Ezekiel, in chapters 38 and 39, foretells the premillennial Gog-Magog invasion of that nation. This is not to be confused with the Battle of Armageddon, a much later event. The military campaign of Gog and Magog against Israel involves a few nations, whereas the Battle of Armageddon involves all the nations of the world. The prophet Ezekiel foretold that several Arab countries, namely Persia, mostly Iran and parts of Iraq, Libya, Ethiopia, North African nations, Russia, and maybe Turkey, would quickly mount a massive military campaign against Israel in the latter days. It is foretold that Russia will be drawn into this war by a hook in the jaw, which will virtually drag her into this conflict against her will. This invasion will come from the north. The purpose of the invasion is to take spoil, and will happen while Israel is living securely in the land, whereas the purpose of the Armageddon campaign is to destroy all the Jews. Ezekiel mentions several allies, while other nations stand in opposition to the invasion. It appears that the nations of the West offer only diplomatic intervention, without military aid, in response to the invasion. One only has to read the newspapers or watch the news on television or news websites to see the unrest, turmoil, suicide bombings, assassinations, failed peace efforts, and hatred being generated toward the Jews in the Middle East. War and rumors of war are blowing throughout the region, especially with the U.S. invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. Almost daily, television news channels show mobs of Muslim protesters in Middle East countries shouting death to America and kill the Jews. Russia is aiding Iran to develop a medium-range ballistic missile. Syria and Iran have been purchasing Soviet war aircraft and anti-tank weapons. In the meanwhile, Israel has not been sitting idly by watching their neighbors arming. They have accepted delivery of advanced American F-15 fighter jets and are deploying an anti-missile system. Additionally, a high wall is being constructed by Israel between her borders and Palestine, further enraging the Palestinians. Although Israel has relinquished some land to the Palestinians in agreement with Palestine to stop terrorism in Israel, it will simply not be enough to satisfy Palestine's long-range plans for its country. The newfound peace will hang by a thread. In a few years, this could escalate easily and explode into the Gog and Magog invasion, seemingly overnight. The situation is much like a powder keg, just waiting for the spark to ignite it. Your authors see this event possibly happening within the next 5 or 6 years. The outcome of this military buildup is given in Ezekiel chapter 38. Biblical scripture makes it clear that no nation comes to Israel's aid. Perhaps they will protest, but not offer to help, because this would pose a threat to their economic existence, or maybe a peace treaty has been negotiated, and to send aid to only a threat would be deemed unwise. Could it be that Israel becomes the aggressor and strikes a Muslim nation without warning, violating its own peace treaties? For whatever reason, Israel stands alone, without military aid, to face the onslaught of invaders. Since no nation comes to Israel's aid to defend her, God sends a great destructive volcanic earthquake of fire and brimstone that utterly destroys the advancing armies. Only 17% of Russia's army survives the vengeance of God. So great is the destruction of war weapons that it takes Israel 7 years to clean up the mess and 7 months to bury the dead corpses of the enemy forces. God will use this attack to show his might and glory to unbelievers. He pours out his spirit upon the house of Israel, so that they might know that he is the Lord their God, and neither will he hide his face any more from them. After the event of the attempted invasion of Israel takes place, and Israel's enemies are destroyed, or at least they back off, the world relaxes as tension in the Middle East dies down. Israel then begins to rise as a nation, unified in might, power, and glory. She has finally earned the respect of the nations, but it will be a short-lived false peace, lasting only a few years. In the meanwhile, the signs of the times have been increasingly manifesting as hurricanes, tornadoes, drought, ice storms, wildfires, floods, mudslides, earthquakes, tsunamis, typhoons, violent tempests, blizzards, extreme temperature variations, volcanic activity, famines, and pestilences in greater frequencies. As of the writing of October 12, 2005, there have been over 140 earthquakes and a magnitude of 5 or higher in the last 30 days. If you include any scale earthquake, there were more than 400 in that same 30-day period. The frequency of these earthquakes is staggering. The Indian Ocean earthquake that caused the devastating December 24, 2004 tsunami was the second largest quake in recorded history, having a magnitude of 9.15, and was the worst tsunami ever recorded in terms of lives lost. At least 232,010 people were either reported as dead or missing. During that quake, the magnitude was such that the Earth's rotation was actually slowed briefly. In spite of all the so-called natural occurring disasters, these occurrences will be perceived as normal, no worse than past occurrences, simply the hazards of living on a planet undergoing climatic changes and global warming. The Mayan end time date of December 2012 is approaching. By now, the media has made the world educated to the upcoming event. Astronomers will be ready for the celestial alignment with their telescopes aimed toward the Milky Way. Scientists will be assuring everyone that it isn't the end of time, only the winding down of precession. Some observers will be looking for the return of Planet X, Nibiru, to return and wreak havoc to our solar system. Soothsayers and prophets of doom will be everywhere. Religious leaders will be assuring their congregations that the Antichrist hasn't made his appearance yet. They will point out that the Jewish people haven't been rebuilt, and much of prophecy hasn't been fulfilled. Therefore, the end of time is not yet. Besides, everyone is accounted for as being present. There has been no rapturing. Hype will build up for black tie procession parties, since it will be 26,000 years before the event comes back around. Spiritualists will be looking for humans to reach a higher level of spiritual consciousness that will somehow change the world back into the golden age. The 2012 alignment has even been predicted to change human DNA into 12-strand DNA, producing a new breed of humans of a higher order. Most all pragmatics will then agree that the world is probably on the cusp of a new age. Beginning with the restart of time once more, having reached the Mayan zero point in their calendar. There will be countries that will produce the ancient charts, the Babylonians, Egyptians, Norse, Celts, Tibetans, Chinese, and the East Indians, whose charts will also agree that we are entering in an age very different than the world has known since the birth of Christ. They will further point out that this 2012 alignment was thought of as being a significant transformative event for human beings on the earth. However, most of the world will turn a deaf ear, either not believing or simply uninterested in ancient charts. After all, we live in a more scientific world and nothing earth-shattering is predicted to happen. The world will go on as in the days of Noah, with eating, drinking, marrying, and being merry. Precession is only an astrological event that will start over and end again 26,000 years into the future. The times, for the most part, are good. And finally, there is heard of peace and prosperity in the Middle East. Technology is at its zenith. Medical miracles cure many diseases, and lifespans are extended. Is this not the long-awaited age of Aquarius that is beginning to manifest? Let us briefly review what is going to happen on December 21st through 23rd of the year 2012. For the first time in 5,125 years, the winter solstice sun will rise to conjunct the intersection of the Milky Way and the plane of the ecliptic, forming a cosmic cross within the Milky Way. At this point, the sun will be in the opening of the dark rift in the Milky Way, which is a spinning black hole. The ancient people referred to this area as the cosmic sea, and believed that the black hole functioned as a doorway between heavens, universes, or dimensions. The term they used for the black hole transdimensional portal is an Ouroboros. This alignment of the sun in relationship to the black hole, dark rift, is called the sign of the Centellia Aeon, meaning the end of the age, and is symbolized by the Ouroboros. The Ouroboros is a tail-eating dragon or serpent. The word Ouroboros is a Greek word meaning tail-eater when translated into English. The Milky Way was perceived by ancient peoples as a great dragon or serpent of light that ate its tail every 26,000 years. The sun will appear to be rising out of the mouth of the Ouroboros, which occurs on the December 2012 winter solstice at exactly 11:11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Below is an Aztec seven-segmented Ouroboros, also seen on the cover of the book. The seven segments represent the seven principles of the Creator. The seven aspects of the Creator are identified as wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of God, and Christ. Christ was known to the Aztecs under other names. Another definition of the seven aspects or seven principles of the Creator is the unseen and unwritten laws of the universe that rule the behavior of manifested matter. Below, it is a Greek-style Ouroboros. There are two types of Ouroboros. One has the serpent holding the tip of its tail in its jaws, forming a static circle that represents an endless round of existence or one eternal round. The second type of Ouroboros is a serpent that is swallowing or devouring its tail and has dynamic meaning. It represents the gateway between our temporal universe and a higher spiritual universe. The Milky Way Ouroboros, where the Sun conjuncts in 2012, is of the second type, or the Greek style, as seen in the second illustration below. The lower right-hand illustration is our Sun rising out of the mouth of the Ouroboros. The Greeks called the end of the age the Suntelia Aeon. The end of the age is when the Sun rises out of the mouth of the Ouroboros when viewed at a galactic central point near Sagittarius in 2012. An age is typically 2,160 years between each transit of the zodiacal signs by the Sun. In 2012, it will have been 2,160 years since the Earth entered the age of Pisces. We are currently in the cusp or dawning of a new age, the age of Aquarius. In 2012, the old age ends, the result of precession of the equinoxes, and the new age of Aquarius officially will begin. The Earth is also completing one precession cycle of roughly 25,920 years, rounded off to 26,000 years. One complete cycle is called an aeon. Therefore, it is the end of the fifth age and the end of the 26,000-year precession cycle, called an aeon or great year, sometimes referred to as the Platonic or Plato's year. It is also the end of the Mayan-Aztec fifth sun. Therefore, the year 2012 marks the end of three great ages. It is the end of the fifth age, however, the beginning of the new sixth age is seemingly different because of the transit of the Sun rising out of the mouth of the Ouroboros. When the Sun makes this transit, the Earth will be right behind it. Scientists do not know what is going to be the effect of the spinning black hole on our Sun and planet, but below is a sample of what has been predicted by various peoples in ancient writings. The Maori believe that a removal or dissolving of the planes, separators, will occur during the merging of the physical and spiritual planes. Ancient historians, and especially Plato, refer to a cycle of catastrophe at the end of the age. Some Maya timekeepers believe that the world will not end, but will be transformed. Other Maya believe that the second coming of Christ will occur and time is no more. They both agree that we are traveling through the 13th Bakhtun cycle. That would be 1618 to 2012 AD. This cycle is known as the triumph of materialism and the transformation of matter. Maya timekeepers of Guatemala teach that we have been through fire, earth, air, and water ages already. The next cycle, beginning December 21, 2012, will be either spiritual or the fifth age. Note, their number of ages are different. This is further evidence in the traditions of other major civilizations, namely Egyptian and Vedic peoples, that this alignment was thought of as being a significant transformative event for human beings on Earth, a transformation of human beings into something completely new. Spiritualists take this to mean DNA changes rather than a newer, higher level conscious being. For certain sects of Gnosticism, the Ouroboros is even identified with Christ by transformation of the mere quick soul into the higher form of a quickening spirit. In other words, terrestrial humans will change into spiritual beings. It will be the start of a new age, which requires people to make a change physically. It will be a spiritual evolution, followed by the Golden Age. The magnificently engraved lid of the sarcophagus of the giant Mayan king Pakal encodes the cosmic cross of 2012. The cross is represented by a huge foliated tree, or sacred cosmic tree. The Mayans believe the serpent constellation, called Draco, will also cross the Milky Way during the 2012 alignment, giving the appearance of a foliated cosmic tree, as engraved on many Mayan steles and Pakal's tomb lid. When this alignment occurs, the ancient Maya believed this was a sign of the end of the age and the time of the resurrection. Pakal's tomb lid is telling that he expects to be resurrected when the cosmic foliated tree appears in the Milky Way at the end of the age in 2012. Your authors believe that the 2012 date is a culmination of events that have been leading up to that date since the union of the polarity occurred. When the spirit and temporal earths united millenniums ago, they were in relative harmony. Each planet has a unique frequency or pitch to its vibration. When they are united, their vibrations created a new harmonic sound, much like a harmonic chord in music. Over time, due to negative forces or vibrations overpowering the positive forces exerted on the planet, harmonic discords began occurring, which make the harmonic vibrations sound out of tune, creating a new sound. The newly created sound is a wobbling sound called a modulation that forms when two vibrations are slightly out of phase with one another. The new vibration is having a degradation of the harmony between the earth, the spirit earth, and the temporal earth, and can cause destructive forces of great magnitude. The modulations will be violent and will result in the crust heaving and waving like wind through a field of barley. The crust is very thin compared to the mass of the earth. If one overlays the thousands of volcanoes on the earth, you get the potential for something very amazing. When the seas heave themselves out of their bounds, the volcanoes match perfectly where they will crash. Add to that the potential for a superstorm from glacial melting, and you will have a disaster of cataclysmic proportions. We are seeing this exact thing happening with dramatic increases since 1980 in numbers and magnitudes of earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, droughts, violent storms, tsunamis, typhoons, floods, extreme weather conditions, volcanic activity, and mudslides. There is only a very small chance that weather, sea levels, and ground stability will be maintained over the next 7 years. It is because the two planets are vibrating in different modulations and are out of phase with each other. They are no longer vibrating in harmony and are in danger of separating, and that is causing natural disasters to occur in increased frequency and magnitude. Below in the book is a graph, and it's made and kept by the International Disaster Database, showing the increase in the number of natural disasters since 1900. When the sun aligns with the spinning black hole in 2012, the Earth will be behind it. Our Earth will pass inside the center of a magnetic axis created by the black hole. It may be darkened with a great cloud for 60 to 72 hours. The sun's corona may be affected, resulting in super solar flares that could scorch the Earth in minutes. The Earth will shake with extremely powerful forces, coming from above and not underground. Many religions refer to the great shaking of the earth in the end times. One example is found in Doctrine and Covenants section 118 as follows: I will not only shake the earth, but the starry heavens shall tremble. Another example found in Haggai chapter 2 states, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. When the great shaking occurs, the spirit earth, already in the process of separating, will fully separate from the temporal earth, rise, and pass through the spinning black hole, Ouroboros, into the fourth dimension, returning back in much the same manner that it arrived. In biblical terminology, this is the translation or transfiguration of the earth. In Doctrine and Covenants section 63, it speaks of a day when the earth shall be transfigured. The spiritual part of the temporal earth will be changed from a telestial into a terrestrial state. The more modern terminology, it's known by the rapture of the earth. The term rapture is not found anywhere in Bible scriptures. It is a modern term denoting the condition of being snatched or caught up or removed. The authors have meticulously arrived at this conclusion from the Tolkien calendar. Remember that it has the ability to predict time and events in the spiritual dimensions. It predicts that in the 2012 alignment, the earth will pass into the fourth dimension and ascend into heaven. The Tolkien further states that humans will be changed or transfigured into galactic bodies of living light. We know that temporal things cannot enter into the spiritual fourth dimension without having first undergone a change, such as translation, because temporal things are not designed to endure spiritual conditions. The Tolkien calendar predictions must be taken seriously because of all the ancient calendars still in use. It is the only one that has never been in error. If this event takes place, then it will be the period following the opening of the sixth seal spoken of in Revelation chapter 6, or rapture of not only spirit earth, but of other righteous beings and believers described in the Bible as the church. The rapture comes for the church so that they might escape the great tribulation that is to follow on the temporal earth. It is also the resurrection of the just, or the first resurrection. It will be a time of relative peace when the non-believing world will be caught off guard, being willfully ignorant and not discerning the signs of the times. The trump sounds and will only be heard by believers and righteous souls, both living and dead. All will meet Christ in the air and will be taken into heaven, the fourth dimension, with the spirit earth. Simply stated, they will be raptured or translated with the spirit earth into the fourth dimension. The rapture is not to be confused with the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ occurs after the tribulation. Therefore, it is possible to predict the time of the rapture using time measurement of the great ages and the Tolkien calendar. An upcoming chapter, The Ages, will teach us how time is measured by the ages. In fact, it was meant to be predicted by this generation. It is in the fourth dimension that the great millennial 1,000-year reign or golden age will take place. But it is not the highest heaven. After the millennial reigns, then the spirit earth, along with its translated inhabitants who are worthy of the highest heaven, will transcend or rise and return to the highest heaven or universe, passing through the gates of heaven until it reaches its final destination in the celestial heaven or universe of God. Once there, the spirit earth with its translated inhabitants will undergo yet another change in the twinkling of an eye. They will be changed into glorified celestial eternal beings that will live forever with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 13, the Holy Bible in modern English, Farrar Fenton's translation, Jesus clearly tells his disciples when the harvest of the righteous takes place as follows. The harvest is the completion of the age, also known as the Centelia Aeon. Simply stated, Jesus said the harvest is the end, the Centelia ending period of the age. We have established that the end of the age is December 21st through 23rd, 2012. It appears that we now have the Bible with the words of Christ and the Tolkien calendar supporting each other in what is to occur on the 2012 end time date. The Tolkien calendar ends in December of 2012 and will not restart again because the Mayans believe that humanity will no longer need a calendar depicting linear time, for we will be moving to a higher dimension where time is measured differently. The ancient Mayans were only partly correct when they assumed the temporal earth would enter into a higher dimension. It is the spiritual nature, or spirit earth, that will enter the fourth dimension, not the physical planet. When the sixth seal is open, as in Revelation chapter 6 and Doctrine and Covenants section 88, both say there will be a great earthquake. The sun becomes black as sackcloth. The moon turns red as blood. The earth shall tremble and reel to and fro. The stars appear to fall. Mountains and islands are moved, and the heaven is opened. This could describe what will occur in the 2012 alignment when the earth, sun, and moon enter the magnetic axis of the spinning black hole. The spinning black hole would be perceived as heaven departed as a scroll, or a portal, or gate entry into the next universe, or dimension. The sudden enveloping darkness and great destructive shaking of the earth will strike fear into the hearts of all men. All people will seek protective shelters, and non-believers will cry for the rocks to fall on them rather than to face the great day of the Lord's wrath. It will be the equivalent of 72 hours of terror in pitch black darkness. Also, it is generally believed that we are now living near the end of the sixth seal period of 1,000 years, which ironically fits the 2012 end of the age date. Since these events have not come to pass at this writing, and we are near the end of this age, the 2012 date becomes more probable for the date of the end of the age, or Centelia Aeon, as found in the Tolkien calendar. Since the rapture is spiritual in nature, those people left behind on the temporal earth will not see any of what happened with their natural eyes. But they will figure out very quickly what has happened when so many people simply vanish off the face of the earth. It could be that there may not be as many souls raptured from the living as expected. Not all believers will qualify to be harvested with the more righteous. These will be fence riders, professing faith but not valiant in their testimonies, and non-tithe payers. Those left behind will turn to their sacred records and learn what is to befall them during the following years of tribulation. Some will repent and become valiant believers, keeping a presence of the church on the temporal earth through tribulation till the second coming of Christ. It is during this same sixth seal opening period, or shortly after the rapture, that the sealing of the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel takes place. It is generally believed that the 144,000 will give guidance and leadership to the church, being designated first fruits during the tribulation years. Again, your authors will depart from traditional belief concerning the 144,000. We believe that the 144,000 are called to serve, give guidance, leadership, and foremost to prepare the translated spirit earth, along with its newly resurrected and translated souls, for the great millennial reign of Christ. It seems contrary after being translated to remain in a sinful world. Instead, why not extend their lives for 500 or more years as indestructible mortal beings? Their translation occurs during the time of the resurrection of the just. This event may take place in secret without the public world realizing it happened. Sometime later, not in the too distant future, Babylon the Great will fall. This will be the collapse of the world economic, political, and religious systems as we know it. The chapter The Watchers will cover how these events could come to be. It is impossible to give exact interpretations of the book of Revelation. It seems that none of the many religious denominations or religious theologians can agree as to when or in what order the prophecies will be fulfilled. There are the pre-tribulationists, middle tribulationists, and post-tribulationists. Some are premillennialists and some are post-millennialists. In addition, there are the historical and the dispensational millennialists. They all present valid arguments for their beliefs, yet nothing is or has been carved in stone. Because of differing opinions, we have elected to give a broad overview of prophetic events rather than an in-depth, step-by-step study of Revelation. It is not the intent of your authors to preach religious doctrine, but rather present a possible timeline of events that could affect the destiny of the creation, as seen through the ancient texts, traditions, and restored knowledge of the union of the polarity. Much of the book of Revelation is symbolic, written in prophetic language, and difficult for most, if any, to fully understand. This is further compounded by the fact that many predicted accounts by various biblical prophets are not in chronological order. Therefore, we will speak in general terms, such as sometime after the rapture has taken place, the opening of the seventh seal happens. Immediately after the opening of the seventh seal, there is a space of 1/2 hour. If you calculate this mathematically, using the knowledge that 1,000 years of man's time equals a day to God, the 1/2 hour space would equal approximately 20 years. Therefore, it could be in a few years, 20 years, or many years later, after the opening of the seventh seal, when the world economic and financial systems, called Babylon the Great in Revelation, collapse overnight. What could cause this collapse? The following four paragraphs are opening statements taken from an editorial analysis by Rolf A.F. Witschi, based on the ideas and presentations by the American economist Lyndon H. LaRoche, Jr., written in 2002. This premise has been largely rejected by society from the mid-1960s on. It has been replaced by the notion, which has actually been conjured up in much earlier times, that wealth can be created by purely financial means. This notion was popularized together with the post-industrial society doctrine. Today, we are facing the end result of the folly of embracing this doctrine. Let's examine this folly that literally became law from the mid-1960s on. At around this time, the myth had been promoted globally that wealth can be created by financial speculation. One doesn't need an industry, so it was said. One doesn't need production of physical goods and infrastructures. It has been said that it is more profitable for society to concentrate on financial speculation, to let your money work for you. Indeed, huge profits have been drawn from spectacular financial practices. The only problem is that non-productive processes do not produce the slightest bit of wealth for society, except for the predators within the economic system. The huge profits that have been drawn over the years by the countless financial industries were not profits in any fundamental sense derived from increased production that enhanced the status of society, but were in fact predatory profits that were quite literally stolen from the living of society by clever means. In real terms, these predatory profits were stolen from the physical economy that supports the living of society. The global economic collapse is the direct outcome of this process. We also face a corresponding world financial collapse. Huge financial equity portfolios have been created over the years, consisting of numerous types of financial aggregates. These have been considered to represent wealth, while in real terms they represent nothing more than a financial claim against the tangible wealth produced in the physical economy. The problem is The physical economy has been collapsed below the break-even point. People are dying. Instead of producing surplus profits for society, the physical economy can no longer produce enough gain in its economic system to maintain its own operation and the needs of society, much less satisfy the astronomical financial claims that stand against it, which renders the financial claims literally worthless. Which he continues, the economic collapse that this overloading of the economy set in motion is becoming acute now, even though it has been going on since the mid-1960s. The collapse began gradually at first. But as the parasite, the predatory financial system, grew into a monster parasite, the physical collapse accelerated. At the present time, the infusion of new money to keep the speculative system alive is greater than the financial aggregates that this infusion is trying to protect. The chief reason why this parasite remains protected at all cost is the illusion of wealth that society sees in it. In real terms, the fancy financial portfolios that society has labored to build for itself in stocks, bonds, and other debt holdings aren't worth the proverbial red nickel, since the productive economy that there are claims against has been bled to death to create this imaginary wealth. That is where we are now. For as long as the living of society is sacrificed to keep the parasite alive, things will get worse and more people will pay the price with their life, which is already happening on a much larger scale than the death toll inflicted by the September 11th destruction of the World Trade Center towers in New York. Society has deprived itself to such a point that people are dying at ever-increasing numbers in the quiet recesses of their private living because of the parasitic deprivation, especially in the nations of South America. The currently outstanding debts have become literally unpayable.